Let us pray. Sorry. Lord, as we come before you, this is our desire to know you more. Create in us a desire to love you, God. And that we ask your Holy Spirit to speak to each one of us. Speak to our hearts, Lord, and prepare our hearts for your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Christian life is not about attending meetings. Christian life is more about a relationship with a living God, with our Lord Jesus. So during this relationship, many things may come in our way as if some stumbling blocks stop us to follow him. So in the beginning of this year, I talk about at least four stumbling blocks. Each starts with W. The first stumbling block I talk about is worry. So often, when we follow the Lord, something happens and we become so worried. We lose our focus and we are stopped by our worries. But in the words of God, we know when we face worries, we can cast our care upon him. So not focusing on the worries, not focusing on something that we can't handle, but focusing back on him. Cast our care on him. So easy, we lose our focus, but cast our care on him. The second stumbling block I talk about is weakness. So often when we are following the Lord, we should do God's will, and then suddenly we realize we are so weak. We're focusing on our limitation, the little strength we have. But throughout God's word, we realize no matter how little or weak you think you are, dedicate what you have in your hand. Just like the little child dedicate the 5 loaves of barley and the 2 fish in God's hand, and the Lord can do miraculous things. So dedicate what you have into his hand. Again, bring us back to him. The third stumbling block I talk about is wrong. Actually, I spend a lot of time telling you that it's not just wrong, it's sin. Sin is displacement of God. We have taken something else and put God away. We think we are great. We put ourselves before God. So sin comes when we think we are better than God. We put out me first. So again, repent, come back to him. So last time, about a month ago, I talked about another stumbling block, wounds. As we following the Lord, when we got wounds or we got hurt, when suffering comes in our way, we say, hey, God, it's not fair. Why you allow such thing comes to my life? And we blame God for it. And then, again, I shared last time, he is the one who heals the brokenhearted. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up our wounds. So again, come back to him. We trust that if we got hurt, there must be a good reason. If we feel that he put a knife in our hearts, then we know he must be the heart surgeon trying to save us some way, somehow. So not in our suffering, we abandon him. Now today I'm going to talk about the last W. I wonder what you would think. What would be the last W? Okay, so let's have a look at first John chapter 1, verse 38. Again, I quoted this verse again and again. John chapter 1, verse 38. Then Jesus turned and seeing them. That in chapter 1, Jesus went to baptize. And after baptism of Jesus, some people try to follow him. Actually, it's Andrew. Start to follow him. And then Jesus, in here, turned and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek? What do you seek?" So these are the first, this is the first question Jesus asked to his followers, we can find in the Bible. This is not the first question Jesus asked, but this is the first question Jesus asked when people try to follow him. What do you seek? Seek is the action. But if we look at another version, which is NIV, it translates as, what do you want? So today the last stumbling block I'm to talk about is want. So worries, weakness, wrong, wounds, today I'm talking about wants. What do you want in another way? In other words, when we come before the Lord, what is in your hearts? Now, if we study the gospel, we remembered there were many people following the Lord. Some are curious. Lord, perform some miracles. We want to see miracles. Lord, we want to hear you preach. Lord, we are hungry. Feed us. Like the last time, you worked miracles. Feed us. Lord, I'm blind. I want my sight. So many people come to the Lord for different reasons. Lord, help me. I got family problem. I want to divide inheritance with my brother. Tell my brother to divide inheritance with me. So many people come before the Lord. Many people come before the Lord with different wants. But what do you seek? What is in your heart? In the beginning, you may want, Lord, I just want to follow you. But later on, as you follow, you may want something more. Remember, James and John come before the Lord. Lord, when you come in glory. Before that, he said, Lord, whatever we ask, can you say yes, please? We are so clever. But the Lord said, what do you want? Actually, when you come in glory, can one of us sit in your right, both of us sit on your left and right? So in the beginning, you may have come to follow the Lord with a simple heart. But later on, as you follow, you want something more and more. So we change. So this is the problem. So what is in your heart? If you come in the morning, if I stand outside, good morning. Why are you here? What do you want? I come to worship. I come every Sunday. But what do you want in your heart? What are you seeking when you come here? What is in your heart? I think this is a very good question. Because if you are looking for something else, Lord, this is not what I want, then you may leave. If we look at John chapter 6, verse 60, John chapter 6, verse 60, after the miracles, many of his disciples, then Jesus talked about, you can eat my flesh, you can eat. If you don't eat my body, in my flesh, you have no part with me. Then these people, they say, therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand this? So when you follow the Lord, sometimes you can hear, this is hard for me. This may be just your weak point. If you have a weak point, when we talk about money, if money is your weak point, this is too hard for me. Then you will think about leaving the Lord. If you have some other problem, you have problem with your family, forgive him? Never! This is a hard saying. So whenever you have some weak point, whenever you have some, then you hear some hard saying, then, this is not what I sign up for. Lord, when I follow you, I don't expect this. Then in John chapter 6 verse later, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. So in the beginning, you may come, Lord, you can perform miracles, great. You can feed my hunger, great. But once you follow the Lord, I don't expect this. Lord, how can you ask me to pick up my cross and follow you? Why do you expect me all this? No, this is too hard. and then you will went back and walk with him no more. So what is in your heart? Because today you may follow, but as you grow up, maybe you follow the Lord when you're in primary school or in high school. When you come to uni, oh, more opportunities open. My career, my marriage, all this may distract you away from him. You may walk with him no more. So what is in your heart? If you ask David, what is in your heart? What are you seeking? I like in Psalm 27, verse 4. 27, verse 4. One thing. I like Brother Ichiu shared a few weeks ago. One thing. This is one thing. One thing, David said, I have desired of the Lord. That will I seek. One thing, if you ask David, what? If I grant you a wish, what would that be? David would say that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. He wants to be with the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple, to be with him, to behold the beauty. I love him. I want to know him. There's a desire in David. And to inquire in his temple, a continuous relationship, not just come to the meeting and go, no. To behold and to inquire in his temple, dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, everyday meeting. Sometimes we come to meeting only once a week in Sunday, oh, that's a meeting, that's fine. But all the days of my life, would that be too much? I don't know how you feel, but that is the desire in David. If you have a desire, it seems to be a very powerful thing in you, a powerful engine, as if. If you have a desire for something, your mind will work. You will be very creative. If men have a desire for something, he will design some tools. He will make new discoveries, find new methods, inventions. Make innovations for what he wants. So if you are interested, if you have a desire for something, you will find ways. If I ask you a Bible quiz, can you think of one person who make musical instrument? Not the one in Genesis. Can you think of anyone who make musical instrument? Aha, no one got it? Can we have a look at 1 Chronicles, chapter 23, verse 5. It says there, David make musical instruments. I never realized that. So, now, you know, David has a desire to be with the Lord. He wants to build the temple, but actually, The prophet stopped him. No, your hands full of human's blood. But your son can build the temple. So the Lord stopped him to build the temple. But he desired the Lord. This is the desire. I want to dwell in his temple for the rest of my life, the day of my life. But you can't build the temple. Okay, so if I can't build the temple, what else can you do? Well, you can't really stop someone who has a desire. So in his mind, all right. Then in his mind, filled with the love of the temple, what will be filled with in the temple? There must be music. So, not only can play musical instrument, he made musical instrument. It says there, 4,000 were gate people. He set different, he arranged his musical bands, okay? Gatekeepers, 4,000 praised the Lord with musical instruments, which I made, said David, for giving praise. So even though the temple was not built yet. So, but in David's mind, one day when the temple is going to be built, I want someone there to praise God. Even though I can't be there, I can't build the temple, but I can make musical instruments. I don't know what sort of musical instruments he made. It says musical instruments for 4,000, praise the Lord. So there must be maybe a few. I don't know if I can take it literally. He really made it with his own hands. Maybe he gave orders to people to make it. But in his mind, he made the instruments for the temple. So if you are really desiring something, you will find ways. Even though I can't be there, I'll make instruments there. And not only that, remember he has written a lot of psalms. Among 150, with his name on it, is 74, according to my memory. So almost half of the psalm is written by David. So what will the people in there singing? So even though David will not be in the temple, if his son build a temple, he won't be there. But the people there, he trained them, provide musical instruments, writing all the songs for them to sing. 74 psalms. That's quite a lot. So even though he won't be there, but in the temple, you can hear the people singing David's psalms with his musical instruments. Now that is somebody with a desire. That is somebody with a heart. Recently, I saw on TV, someone is like guitar. Someone interviewed him, how many guitars have you got? Oh, I got 6, I got 7. But this one is really unique. This is a vintage. I want to buy extra, extra, extra. So if you are interested, if you have a desire for something, you won't stop. That's enough. You want more. You want more. You want more. Even if you can't do this, you think of some ways. I remember when I was in uni, I tried to, I got to wake up early in the morning. I want to give my best time to read the Bible. So I tried to get up early in the morning. So-called early is about 8 o'clock, you see. Other uni people, they wake up at 10 or 11, just a few minutes before their lecture, okay? So I'm an early riser, 8 o'clock, okay? So, but in England, you know, it's so cold, so gloomy. You have to really struggle to get out of bed. So when I want to read the Bible, then I put I set first alarm clock is 7:55, so sort of wake me up, stir me up. At that time, they don't have the snooze button, okay? So one alarm clock goes 7:55. Okay, I start to wake up, but still need 5 minutes to struggle. So another alarm clock further away, so I have to climb out, I have to take the quilt away and then push to stop the second alarm clock. So if you have a desire to do something, you will think of some way. I don't have to teach you how to get up. I don't have to teach you how to read the Bible. You will think of some way. I remember Brother Joshua when he said, I don't think he has a problem to read the Bible because once he accepted the Lord, he has such a strong desire to read the Bible. No one teach him how to read. He just opened the Bible and read. 20 chapters a day maybe, if I remember correctly. There's a desire there. You will find ways to do it. If you have no desire, all the reference book here, all the people teaching you methods, I teach you, put a few alarm clock, you can wake up. You won't use it, even though you know it, because you don't have such desire, isn't it? So it's a matter of desire. It's not a matter of methods. If you have a desire, you will think of some methods. If you have no desire, all the methods are given to you, you won't do it. If you have a desire, you are willing to pay a price. Let's look at 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 3 and 4. Apart from building the temple, needs a lot of gold and silver. In here, David said, moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, he has a desire for the house of the Lord, I have given to the house of my God over and above. Now this is over and above. More than some required. More than he tried his best. Just like, you know, another person, Mary, offering the alabaster jar of perfume. People say, why such waste? In here, David do the same thing. I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver. He take out something from his own pocket, out of his own pocket, for the house of God. He is willing to pay any price for his dream. To him, it's nothing if you have such desire. If you have such desire, you won't count. If we look at another passage in Genesis, chapter 29, verse 20, Jacob loved Rachel. And then, so Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. For to him, 7 years is nothing. And they seem only a few days. Can you imagine? A few days. Because of love. Years turns to days. Because of love. If you don't have love, wow, the meeting, 1 hour. How come it seems like eternity? But with love, eternity is just a click. So often we wonder, what are we going to do in heaven? Eternity scared us because we have no love for Jesus. If you love the Lord, oh, nothing. A few seconds, just a few seconds. So if you have a desire, you're willing, you will find ways. If you have desire, you will willing to pay a price. If you have desire, you think of, how can I do this more and more? Because David loves the Lord, he set up divisions of priests, musicians, and gatekeepers. He put his time and effort in it. So, if I ask you, if you have time, how would you like to spend your time? Your effort, where do you put your effort in? Then I will know what is most important thing in your life. You spend most of the time on online games, on computers, study or work. I can see what is most important to you. So if you are you have desire, you will plan. I'll do this, I'll do this. If you plan to be a doctor, then I'm going to prepare myself. I have to got biology. I have to do well in my biology. People show no interest. Oh, I hate biology. No, because I want to be a doctor. I have to do well in biology. Then you would change your heart in a way. So if you have a desire, you will plan. You are willing to make efforts. You are willing to sacrifice. And we can see growth there. So often, some Christians, we can see, hey, how come he believed the Lord so many years, there seems to be no growth. He remains the same. How come? The simple reason is, he doesn't want to grow at all. He is happy right here now. No growth, because there is no desire to grow. So once you have accepted the Lord, do you want to grow in Christ? If you want to grow in Christ, you will pay attention. You may buy books. Oh, this book is good. This book helps you. Oh, read that biography. Oh, read that book. Oh, that Bible version is better. You will buy. You will put your effort. You will put time. Willingly, gladly, you will spend for what you desire. Sometimes people, yes, I have desire. I know the Lord, but I have desire for something else. If we look at Jude chapter 1, chapter verse 11. Jude verse 11. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. First person is Cain. Have run greedily in the error of Balaam for the prophet, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. There are 3 persons here. I can say they all know the Lord. Cain know the Lord. Cain and Abel. Yeah. But they have gone in the way, people, the way of Cain. What is the way of Cain? Cain and Abel. We know the story so well. Cain is jealous about his brother because the Lord gladly accepted his brother's offering. And he's grow jealousy out of him. So he knows the Lord, but in Cain's heart, the matter is, what I have offered to the Lord, I don't care if the Lord is happy with that or not, but I am not happy because the Lord is not showing me approval. He wants acknowledgement from God. He expected the Lord to say, oh, you are the firstborn, you are Cain, you are good. But the Lord said, Abel is better. I like him and his offering. And he got really angry. Why? Because in his mind, he's thinking of raising himself. How about Balaam? The error of Balaam for profit. Money. Yes, he knows the Lord, but in his heart he wants money. Cain knows the Lord, but in his heart he wants to be, I'm good. I'm better than my brother. Pride. He himself is more important. If the Lord hurts my pride, I'm angry with the Lord as well. So Cain wants himself to be raised. Balaam wants money for himself, of course. And Korah, the rebellion of Korah. Korah knows he rebelled against Moses. Why? He said, hey, why are you put yourself above the others? The Lord speaks to us all. So he looks for position. He looks for spiritual authority. So he knows the Lord, but in his heart he wants position. So all these people, you can't say they don't know the Lord. Cain knows the Lord. Balaam, God gave him prophecy as well. Korah, he has seen the work of God. Just like many of us, we know the Lord in a way. But in your heart, are you looking for position? Are you looking for approval of man, recognition of man? Or are you looking for money, profit? Are you looking for spiritual authority or position? What is in your heart, brothers and sisters? We come every Sunday, but what are we seeking? Position, wealth, recognition? So deep under human's heart, we want to prove to ourselves, hey, I am good. In people study psychology, maybe, I don't know, self-significance. Do you have such term there? No? Self-significance. I am important. I have ambition. So people want to be a beauty queen or something, get knowledge, master, and two masters, PhD. That's nothing wrong to be PhD or master, okay? I got skill. I'm the champion. Grand Slam champion. Oh, I have the power. I'm the CEO. We're looking for honors. We are looking for wealth. So deep inside, we want to prove to everyone, prove to ourselves, I am good. I am good. So instead of David desiring the Lord, we want to raise ourselves in our life. Our whole life struggling, try our best to raise ourselves. Actually, it's the same thing Satan, in the heart of Satan. If we look at the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, talk about Lucifer, the son of the morning. So many Bible scholars say, this Lucifer speaks of Satan. How you are fallen from heaven. We know Satan is a fallen angel, fallen from heaven. O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the grounds, you who weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart. What is in the heart of Satan? I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the Mount of Congregation, on the farther side of the north, I will ascend. Can we go back? I've not quite finished yet. I will ascend. I will exalt. I will also sit on the mount. Raise. Just like today, people, my achievement, my work. Raise. All focusing on myself. Can we look at 14 then? I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So this is the heart of Satan. This is his wants. High. So God put him as an angel. He's not happy. He wants to be as high as God himself. So this is his wants. He's not happy with just being an angel. So his temptation to the first man, Adam and Eve, hey, God doesn't want you to have wisdom like him. Eat the forbidden fruit. Then you can raise yourself up as smart as God. You can be as God. So Satan wants to be raised himself. He's not happy to be here. He wants to go up. So the sin comes when man wants to raise himself up. The same thing. The same idea. It's the work of sin in our life. So today, even though you may, I come to the meeting, I study the Bible really hard. But in your heart, it's not for desiring of God. Even though you study the Bible, you want to raise yourself. I want to be a Bible scholar. I want to be the best preacher in the world. If you are still thinking of raising yourself, that is Satan. If you are just desiring God, that's David. Heart. Okay, so it's a big difference. So some people may say, actually I know a sister, not among us, okay, I have to specify, not among us. He got depression. He got, her mental health is not that well because she is a perfectionist. She wants to get high score, high distinction in her study. So be very careful. I don't mean you don't need to study hard. Do well to honor God, not to honor yourself. Okay? Do your best. Because, look, Daniel is a very good, efficient, good worker, or you can say, Joseph and Daniel. Daniel raised to becomes as if the prime minister in Babylon, isn't it? Because he is doing very well in his job. The king loves him, okay? Just like Joseph, he's doing so well. He's just second next to Pharaoh, okay? So we Christians, we should do well in our work, but not to raise ourselves, I'm the first. Not for ourselves, but to experience him and to glorify our God, okay? So, but some people may say, I don't have such desire. I don't want to raise myself. Their attitude is indifferent. I don't care. If you talk to them about spiritual matters, if you talk to them about God's matters, I don't care. Do you want to know this? Do you want this and that? I don't care. I let go. Why so serious about life? No worries. I want to live a carefree life. Some people just accept destiny. Whatever comes to my life, I accept it. No strife. I want a peaceful life. Actually, some people may appear to have no desire, but actually they have. They say no desire is for spiritual things. People don't care about future, don't care about facing one day they'll stand before God, because they want to care about today. All our carnal needs instead of spiritual needs. So beware, brothers and sisters. If you don't care about spiritual things, care about God, why so serious about life? Actually, this is just a disguise. You care. You care about something else. What is that? Think about it. What is in your heart? What is the most important thing in your heart? You don't want to pay a price or sacrifice for anything for spiritual matters? Then what things are you willing to pay your price on? There must be something that touched your heart. Let's look at Paul. We talk about David, we talk about Satan, we talk about Cain, Balaam, and Korah. Now let's have a look at Paul. Can we look at 1 Timothy chapter 6? Now godliness with contentment is great gain. Contentment. Godliness with contentment. So for Paul, he doesn't long care much about what he possesses, what he gained on this earth. How people look at him? Is he the greatest apostle? He doesn't care about that. What he eat, what he drink, how people treated him, put him in jail, he didn't care much. Now, godliness with contentment. He is content with God, what God has given him. Comparing to Satan, Satan is not content. I want to raise, I want to ascend, I want to exalt myself. No contentment with God's provision. But Paul on earth, godliness with contentment is great gain. Okay, not just contentment, godliness with contentment. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, and this we shall be content. If you have food, if you have clothing, be thankful. Enjoy what you have. If you want more, more, and more, be careful. Discontent will lead you, but those who have desire. So if you are not content with spiritual thing, you may desire something else. What would that be? Desire to be rich. What's wrong with desire to be rich? Now you will fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. While in such a short verse 9, you can find so many negative things. Let's look at it. Fall into temptation and snare, and foolish and harmful lust, harmful to us. Do you realize something is harmful to you if you desire something apart from our Lord? Harmful lust, which drown. You will be drowned in it. You can't breathe. You lose your life. Why do you become Christian for such a long time and there seems to be no growth? Because you're drowning with something else. Drowned man in destruction and perdition. So if you desire something apart from the Lord, like Cain, like Korah, like Balaam, you will drown in destruction and perdition. Brothers and sisters, turn away. Let's turn away from that. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. If you go that way, many sorrows following. But you, O man of God, flee these things. So Christian life is flee from all these things and pursue righteousness. So notice, flee and pursue. So for those Buddhists, maybe they try to flee from the lust, but they have nothing to pursue. But for us Christians, pursue righteousness, the life of Christ, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. So this is the life of Christ, something for us to pursue. In another place in the book of Philippians, let's see chapter 3, verse 7 to 14. But what things were gained to me? Paul has lots of things in the past. He has a very good status, knowledge. He can be proud. He's a Hebrew. Pharisees, all these things he can claim. He has achieved his achievement. All this were gain to him, were gain, but I have counted loss for Christ. Do you have this change in your life? Something were very important to you? Now you look back, you turned, and counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. So in Paul's heart, something more important. Remember David. Now look at Paul. He wants to gain Christ. David wants to be with the Lord, behold his glory, inquire a relationship to the Lord. And the same here, Paul. He wants to, through all suffering, he wants to gain Christ and be found in him. As if Christ and Paul go through the suffering together. In him, there's still a union. So he's not going through difficulty, but just by himself, in him. As if the Lord Christ is surrounded him. He's just like someone in a bubble. He's abide in Christ. In all things. Be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. So in him, he can experience his power of his resurrection, his changing power. So brothers and sisters, when we go through difficulties, do you feel that it is just you struggling? Or do you feel he empowers you, strengthens you, in difficulties? And the fellowship of his suffering, and being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. So, we can see what is in Paul's desire. No longer recognition from the people as, oh, he's great, he's a Pharisee, a scholar. No, he wants to gain Christ. So what would be your desire, brothers and sisters? When you come to the meeting, I want to know him. I want to be found in him. I want to experience him in my life. Would this be your desire? Let me give you another example, how we can experience him. Many brothers and sisters know already I'm a driving instructor. I have many students. Many one go through the driving tests. Now I'm going to speak of one of my students. Don't try to guess who that person is, please. He's not in here, okay? He's not in here, okay? Now recently, one of my students failed in the test. Not the first time, okay? So he got so upset. He said, if non-believer, they may say, oh, you have bad luck. But it's not just luck. And I can see his face changes. I can see the expression from his face. All this frustration, denial. How can this be? Anger comes in. That examiner, something wrong with him. And then instead of criticizing the examiner for the test, he starts to criticizing the system. And then instead of criticizing the system, they should have put the video camera during the driving test so I can have evidence. I can prove myself I'm right, he's wrong. And then I say, oh, the whole Australia is like that. Oh, then there must be something wrong with Australia. China is better. Then he starts criticizing Australia and China just because he failed the driving test. Okay, he exaggerates a lot. This is us. So from him, I can see myself. Something very similar. So all this complaint, all this blaming people and the environment. Now, he is holding to something. And deep inside, we can see his human pride, human trust on himself, his ability. I'm so good. I have experience. How can I fail? It's impossible. So no one wants to accept that. So I can see human's pride there. I can see not him, in me as well. So when we think, when I talk about this, don't think, hey, who is that person? No, no, not try to think. Think about yourself. We have the same pride. We don't want to accept. If you are always doing well in your study, suddenly you didn't got a full mark, you will say, something wrong, you try to blame everyone. But in fact, then he sent a WhatsApp to me, hey brother, tell me, what should I learn as a Christian? Of course, I can speak a lot of things to him, but I think, I shouldn't say too much. I say, I think through this incident, the Lord wants to speak to you. Why don't you speak to him? Ask him what he wants to tell you. So I asked him to pray, actually. So instead of I give him all my understanding, better let him come back to the Lord himself. Okay? Not just giving him some help, but try to lead him, let him talk to God himself. But somehow he asked me again, so okay, little by little, I say a little bit more. So I say, well, the result of the test, driving test, is not from man. It is from God. Can we look at Psalm 39 and 9? I always trust that. Because I have very good students, and they failed in the test. I have students not so bright, and they passed the test, to my surprise. So, it is in the hands of God. I was mute. David, I said, I was mute. I did not open my mouth, because it was you who did it. He was talking to the Lord. What happens come to me, Lord, it's not Saul, it's not all the other bad people. Lord, whatever comes to me, it was from you. And because it was from you, I was mute. I have to accept. I no more complain. No more complaining about blah, blah, blah. But accept it from the Lord. Now, accept it from the Lord means you submit to his authority. So actually, you are learning submission. Remember how the Lord say he prays, oh Lord, Father, I praise you. For you open your will, the eyes of the simple that they can know you. So we can see in the life of our God, our Lord Jesus, he submit to his Father's will. So he can experience Christ in his failure, experience Christ, abide in him. He can learn how to trust in God, not in his ability, not in his driving skill. He can learn to be humble before the Lord. When he humbled himself, Lord, it's all by grace. Actually, before the exam, driving test, he shared to me, oh, how God has been gracious to him for the past few days. And then after the exam, oh Lord, something wrong. It changed suddenly. So, if he learns, come before the Lord and enjoy, oh, all is grace. Even I fail is grace. And then out of this humbleness and realizing the grace of God upon him, he can praise God. So actually, if you fail the exam, or the test is a good opportunity for you to come before the Lord. Lord, it is from you. I submit myself. I don't need explanation. I don't need to complain to other people. I accept this is from you. You bow before the Lord, humble yourself, and all is grace, and you can praise God. Can you praise God when something bad happened to you? Then, if you can, I think you learn more. So even though you may not do well in the driving test, but you do well in the spiritual trial. What is more important? If you didn't learn well in the spiritual trial, God will give you another chance. You may fail again. Then you learn to, oh Lord, this is from your hand. No, struggling. Okay, try again. And fail again maybe, I don't know. So I'm not cursing you, but I'm telling you, spiritual lesson is more than important. Lord wants us to learn, to test our heart. Do we treasure him? Do we want to gain Christ? Or to gain a driver license? What is more important? Driver license means nothing. Maybe in 10 years' time, you don't need to drive holding the steering wheel anymore. Just go to the car, push the button, Mary Road, Auburn, and the car will automatically come to here. You don't need to steer anymore. No need to do the reverse parallel parking anymore. So simple. So driver license lasts for a few years. But learning spiritual lessons lasts for our whole life, actually into eternity. So what is more important, brothers and sisters? May the Lord help us to desire more about Him, okay? This is, what do you want? Do you want Him? Do you want to gain Christ? Then we have opportunity. Every day we have opportunity. Let's bow down before the Lord and pray. Lord, we thank you. So often, we don't know what our hearts want. When we come before you, we look for something else. But we thank you, just like David or Paul. We pray that you will refine our hearts, test our hearts. So one day we will just longing, just desire to know you and gain Christ in our life. We pray that you change our life. We pray that we'll learn every spiritual lesson. Everything comes to us not to draw us away from you, but to bring us back to you, because we are created to love you and honor you. We ask that you continue, your Holy Spirit continue to work in our life. We commit ourselves into your hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.